Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Oli, your classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
So, guys, I just want you to know that for the last 14 years that we've been doing this podcast, I feel like it's been atrocious, and we need a change to help the people. And if you haven't caught that reference, we won't even do this before. You guys got to give me something here, man. Respond to me. You're the worst. I'm trying. I'm trying to start the conversation. You can go over there. I don't know what you're doing. You're tweeting. Nope. V's just looking blankly into like the mirror. You're dumb. God, at least hit me with that.
He's been somewhat on a roll.
He has
these days, hasn't he?
Yeah, like it's just. I'm not sure what the hell is going on right now.
Yeah, he's been on like a spree too, because like he's been going after Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, how are you gonna attack your own guy?
Well, you know what he's doing is, I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to force Jeff Sessions to resign, so that he doesn't have to fire him. Because if he fires him,
it looks bad.
It looks really bad. It looks like he's trying to get rid of
the Russia scandal.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to.
Oh yeah, cover for appointing Mueller or whatever. Yeah. His name
so is. What he's trying to do is, if he can get rid of Sessions, he can put in someone that can fire.
Mueller.
Uh-huh. But the problem is that the last time that happened was in Nixon, right? You fire, force the attorney general resigns, that type of shit, right? Like trying to get rid of the special prosecutor, all that, right? Uh-huh. But in the past, they had refused to do so. Right now, Jeff Sessions is saying, look, I'm not going to resign.
Yeah.
If you want me out, you got to fire me.
Yeah, and I recuse myself from Russia.
It's nuts because he was like the first one to jump on the Trump.
He's a Trump loyalist. It just proves that at the end of the day, Trump is only loyal to Trump.
Yeah, and what I think is crazy is the fact that like you somehow, you get less shit for shaming someone on your social media than you do, but somehow that's a smarter move to shame someone on social media like crazy as opposed to just outright firing him.
Well, no. If you fire him, you fall into unethical.
Yeah.
So he's using social. It's a deliberate thing.
He's literally like, this is real fucked up. This is like trying to help or have a girl develop an eating disorder type shit.
Well, like, I think what's happening too is like, I think he's feeling the pressure. Because I mean, he didn't have a big issue. This is new, right?
Correct.
All of a sudden, it's like, wow, how dare Jeff Sessions recuse himself? Asshole, he's been recused for like 5 months.
Yeah.
Why is the issue now? And the question people need to ask, why now? And the why now is that I think he's feeling the heat.
Well, you know, he also came out with, like, he said that Sessions hasn't been doing a good job.
Well, he's attacking Sessions for not being – he's trying to distract.
Yeah.
Why isn't he going after Hillary? Why isn't he doing the Ukraine? Like, he's talking about all this other stuff because
he wants
he feels the heat. Because right now, after the Don Jr. stuff – that really hurt him because Don Jr. basically admitted it.
He did.
His emails clearly state that they went in there looking to collude. Yeah,
he heard that the New York Times was going to put out a story,
so he put out his emails, and it's like, oh, for transparency's sake, but you idiot. First read the title of the subject, what the subject line says, then what the content says. It very clearly shows that he's like, he was looking to get secret information on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. That's a sign of collusion.
But the thing is, now, it's like,
We're expected to believe that he went in there and nothing happened. He got nothing, right? And then, of course, he along the way, he lied about who was in attendance. Like every step of the way, he's like, oh, it's just me and so-and-so. And then someone else gets revealed. Oh, well, they were there too. Yeah. But that's it. No one else. And then someone else gets revealed. And he's like, oh, I should have said that it was actually three of us. Now it's up to 8 people, and these 8 people include Russian lawyers, people who've actually worked as pro-Russian lobbyists, all this other stuff. I'm not a particularly big red, I'm not all about this Red Scare hysteria that people are getting into, but it doesn't look good. And so that's why he's trying to body shame Jeff Sessions into resigning.
And then you got Kushner bringing in like people. So like with that, like,
did you ever hear Kushner speak, by the way?
No. Does he talk?
I heard him speak for the first time like a few weeks ago.
They sound like, what does he sound
like? He sounds like a little weasel. Mm. He has a really high-pitched voice that's like nasally and whiny and little boy. He sounds like a little boy.
Like David Beckham?
Like it's a David Beckham moment. You just kind of go, of all the things I expected, I didn't expect that to come.
Well, you know, Trump Jr. looks like a weasel. Kind of weaselly features, though. Or is it Eric Trump that has the
weasel? No, Eric Trump is the weasel.
Look up.
Eric Trump looks like a vampire.
Look up. Jared Kushner speaking, you're just going to go, what the f-?
Yeah. Well, you know, like,
son, grow a pair.
Because you know how they have that technology thing where they brought in, like, like the guy who was in Elon Musk and like all these other people. Like, so all these people are worth like billions of dollars, right? And then they brought in this guy who owns something called like OptGov or something, right? Which like is worth a fraction of everyone else and is like barely on the like on the blimp of technology. But the only reason they brought him on was because fucking Kushner owns most of the fucking
Kushner. Well, yeah, Master R is
who's Kushner?
I don't know. It's Kushner.
Kushner, same shit.
No, Kushner.
Kushner.
There you go.
Fuck him. Either way, he owns like most of the stock in this guy's company.
Yeah, but well, there's nothing. There's nothing new about that. I mean, fucking Jeff Sessions, all about the Attorney General, is all about justice, right? But he owns percentages in all the private prison companies.
Or Donald Trump. How many times has he been going to golf courses that happen to be his that we're paying for?
Yeah.
Right. So like, that's not the big deal. It's this new Jeff Sessions thing. And then while that's going on, you have Spicy out.
Yep. Seriously.
Spice Man gone.
I tweeted
the Easter Bunny.
I tweeted from Curly Nerdy that he resigned so he could go back to being the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. I did an Instagram post where Tim's sniffing a sock and it says all like, Dobby.
That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a song, I saw it and I chuckled at work. I was like, ah, good job, V. You did good.
Sean Spicer is was one of my favorite Trumpkins.
Yeah, he was a.
I had never seen someone so openly stupid.
That's true.
Like the only person that's I think equal to him is Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Oh, and she took his job.
Not to shame her looks,
uh-huh.
but I never know which way she's looking.
That is true.
So like it doesn't help that she's looking in six different directions while she says stupid shit. Right?
She always looks lost.
You expect her to be from Arkansas.
That's true.
That's messed up, right? Man.
When she speaks and you look at her and you go, oh, yeah, Arkansas. Yeah.
You going to make a beach wall reference for Chris Christie now?
No, I'm not going to make any type of body shaping references. I'm just implying that she might have been inbred. That's all I'm saying. There's no shame involved. I'm just implying incest.
She's Huckabee's daughter, right?
She's Huckabee's daughter. Huckabee's a moron.
That's true.
And now I see you're his daughter.
Yeah, I can see it.
You're as stupid as your dad. And as much of a sellout, you false Christian piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right, they were talking about Christianity. They're Southern Baptists, right? Mm-hmm. And they're ashamed of Southern Baptists. She's my favorite, though, because she's ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Sean Spicer doesn't seem stupid. He just is. He's like a man caught up in the stupidity.
Yeah, like he has to say this shit.
Not just does he have to say this shit, but it's like he goes out there for a communications guy. I've never met someone who's so bad at communicating.
He's a sad sack, too.
First of all, he mispronounces things left and right.
Bashar al-Assad.
He called him Bashar al-Assad. Six times. Wolf Blitzer finally goes,
Assad guy.
Wolf Blitzer goes, Bashar al-Assad, you've mispronounced his name.
Wolf Blitzer's calling you out for what you're doing.
When dumbass Jeopardy Wolf Blitzer ends up correcting you.
That guy sucks.
You know, Wolf Blitzer is the smartest looking dumbass I've ever seen in my life. He's like a guy, you go, oh, this guy looks really smart. Until he speaks, you go, this guy's dumb as
I know. People like when they talk about like journalism in terms of journalism being smart, Wolf Blitzer,
because he's got the part.
Because he looks smart, and his name is also Wolf Blitzer. Let's face it.
But the reality is that he's as dumb as rocks.
Yeah,
he's like I've seen soap filled socks smarter than he is.
He just has the look. That's why soap-filled
socks. It's the preferred method of beating elderly people.
Yeah, I see. You seem
to. They did Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. I was gonna say Metal Gear Solid.
Wow.
Yeah. Same. They have metal in there.
All sorts of subtle fucked up shit I say.
Yeah, you're a mean person.
I'm not saying that he should be beaten. Socks filled with soap. I'm not implying that. I'm just making a correlation between their intellect. Pointing it out.
Is this considered slander?
Just putting it up there. I don't know what this is
considered. Or is it because like we're on a comedy podcast, it's considered...
I don't think it's considered slander if it's true.
Yeah. It's satire. We're just going to say it's all satire.
No, it's true. Because if Wolf Blitzer ever tried to sue me for saying he's as dumb, I would demand a test. Like, you prove you're not stupid, and I'll retract the statement. Take this test with this sock filled with soap.
Yeah, and the socks filled with soap is going to take the test as well. Yeah. And whoever scores more.
We're going to play Jeopardy. On one side is going to be a sock filled with soap. The other side is you. If you end up with less points than the sock soap, you got nothing to say. He did ended up with negative points. That piece of shit.
Yeah, I know it was a really and not bad, just
like a small amount too.
It was like thousands of dollars. Like
thousands of dollars.
I gotta watch this.
You go and watch it. You will lose all respect for the man instantaneously.
Because I had respect for the man.
No, well, like you can at least go. He looks smart.
Yeah, he does.
But you can. I show Wolf Blitzer's video clip in my classes to teach them not to judge a book by its cover. This is a pedagogical moment. Like, watch this. You thought he was smart, but he's not. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders, dumb as a pile of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Spicer apparently is tongue-tied about everything. Not only did he mispronounce Bashar al-Assad, okay, so he's a white privileged piece of shit that can't say Arabic name.
Yes.
Justin Trudeau was Joe Trudeau for like a week because of this guy.
Jim.
Or my favorite moment was when he's like, not even Hitler gassed his own people.
And
you just, like, there was a collective moment where all the reporters went, wait, what did you say?
Wait, didn't he call Abe Prime Minister Abe?
He called him Abe.
Yeah.
First of all, it was Shinzo Abe.
Yeah.
He called him Abe.
Yeah. Abe. Abe and Trump were talking.
They talked about, they used Abe as if it was his first name, and they said Abe.
Oh, man. See, I'm going to miss Sean Spicer because, I mean, the man was comedy gold. There's a funny
story about of Shinzo Abe's wife, though.
What now?
You hear about what Shinzo Abe's wife did?
No.
Apparently, she sat next to Trump, and for 2 hours, he tried to speak to her.
Uh-huh. She pretended
she didn't speak English.
Yeah.
This video of her giving like an inaugural speech in English.
Yeah.
She's fluent in English.
Yeah.
But they were talking about like, the prime minister's wife couldn't speak English, so they couldn't communicate. People are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, she speaks flawless English.
That's actually smart.
She's the avatar of like 2017.
As a Japanese ambassador, as a Japanese political figure, she understood what American presidents and their history with Japanese people.
Yeah, so she just pretended not to speak English.
You know, and then not to mention, not since George H.W. has such bullshit come out of someone's mouth onto a Japanese person.
Literally.
Like, such ridiculousness. That's a throwback for anyone who...
That's a good throwback.
Yeah.
It is.
He found somebody.
The other thing I liked about Sean Spicer, in addition to the fact that he...
Spencer?
Did I say Spencer?
Yeah, Spicer. Sean Spicer. Richard Spencer is a completely different D-bag.
I like Sean Spencer.
Yeah. The thing that I loved about him, in addition to the fact that his word salads and tongue twisters was endless amusement for me, is the fact that for the first time in my life, I saw the evolution of zombification.
The what now?
By which I mean that when he first went out there and sold his soul, he looked like a normal person, stuck in a weird position. Aggressive, in a weirdly aggressive position. This is the largest crowd, period ever. Right? It was one of those moments, right?
Alternative facts.
It was one of those, you just went, whoa. But over the months, you start to see his face turn into like this weird purple color. There's like a faint purple tinge around his eyes.
The blood was going away.
His lips became bloodless. Now, I had heard rumors that white people, they lose blood circulation to the lips. Uh-huh. I've heard this before.
Okay.
I never witnessed it firsthand. So seeing him lose color to his face like that was really a phenomenal experience.
Yeah.
Like, by the time he left, I don't think Sean Spicer was a real person.
That's true.
I think he was a cadaver.
Yeah. You know, they did him like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Or like what they were doing with Fidel Castro the last couple of years.
I think that's why there was no camera press
allowed
for like the past 4 weeks. The reason they turned off the cameras is because Sean Spicer has been dead.
Yeah.
It's just a cadaver. They've been rolling out his cadaver, and someone's been pulling strings.
He's starting to rot now. We can't pull this off.
So that's
anymore.
Why he resigned.
I'm pretty sure he gave a speech on Fox News.
Yeah, that was
about SNL.
I'm just pointing out that the man who hid in bushes.
He hid in bushes.
Who
mismatched shoes?
Who stole a fridge?
He stole a fridge.
So my favorite one is the one that the story of his came out after he left. Is apparently he really desperately wanted a mini fridge in his office, and the intern office had a mini fridge. So he waited until everyone left that night, and at 8 at night, people caught him rolling up the stolen fridge to his White House office.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've done the same thing.
I've never stolen a fridge.
You've stolen a couch.
I've stolen a couch. I don't know if stealing is the right word.
You stole it.
I commandeered it.
It belonged to someone else.
I commandeered the ship.
It belonged to someone.
I, in my defense, the classics department had a nice couch.
Okay, so you steal it.
My office did not have a couch.
Mm.
So we stole it.
So you liberated it.
I felt like the classics department. So first of all, the classics offices, the TAs in the classics offices, they had a communal office.
Oh, okay. So that's their
shared the couch.
Okay.
I felt they didn't need the couch.
Oh, okay.
Classics is about dead old white people.
That doesn't matter. There's more of them than you.
They didn't need that couch.
So
the three of us, me and my three friends, one of my friends, Brian, big ass dude, gave me P90X for some reason.
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, I've been using this. You'd love this because of the yoga bit. I'm like, I don't need this fucking shit.
Right.
Literally somewhere in my apartment, there's a yoga DVD because this asshole gave it to me.
Oh, I've seen
this. My friend Brian, a couple of other friends, and my other friend, we carried this thing, but it was too heavy to carry the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a picture. I'll find it somewhere. There's a picture of us in the middle of UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting in this couch in the middle of the sidewalk before we made it in my office.
So the needs of one outweighed the needs of many.
No, I never
believed. You're a Republican through
and
through.
I don't believe that the needs of one ever overweigh.
Then why'd you take the couch?
I believe that the needs of me outweigh the needs of the many. There's a difference. I think that as a society, we should put the many ahead of the one. As an individual policy, I'm put myself first. Yes. I'm just going to put that out there.
You're a strong
you know
Republican.
The sad reality of it, too, is like my office was really small. And you it was a broom closet.
You didn't need it.
I didn't need it. Not only did I not need it, it didn't fit properly.
But you took it anyway.
So like, in order to get to my desk then, I'd have to like jump over the edge of the couch in order to get to the desk. Because I never use my desk, but I use the couch to nap on.
People idolize you.
Yeah, you would fit right in Washington.
Yeah. You know, like, I legit have friends that tell me, like, oh, your cousin Ali is this great, great person. I'm going to have them listen to this episode.
Because I stole a couch?
You stole the couch.
One time, several years ago?
You know, that couch is like healthcare in this country.
Yeah, you took it from them. People that needed it the most.
You know what the funny thing is?
And like, you used it.
The worst thing about it is, like, I don't even know what happened to that couch. Because I came to a different university.
Well, the Republicans won't know what happened to healthcare after.
Well, if it makes anyone feel any better. I don't have a couch in my new office.
You don't deserve
one. I say new, but it's been there for like several years.
So were you like, let's just get rid of the couch and figure out what's going on first?
No, it was more like, I need this couch. I'm having a hard time napping in my chair.
So you didn't even bother to replace the couch.
I didn't bother.
You repealed it and you didn't replace.
I stole it.
Yeah.
I stole the couch.
He admits that he stole it.
I admit it. It was an act of justified thievery.
It wasn't that.
I didn't have a couch. They had multiple couches.
They needed it. They had more people in that office than you did.
Yeah, they could fit on one couch.
You're a piece of shit.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's true. Well, you know, all the people can fit on $12 a year for healthcare or whatever the fuck it is.
I refuse to feel guilty about that moment.
In true dictator fashion, you care not who you harm in doing what you do. But whatever. Okay.
You could try to shame me all you want.
No.
I know that I stand on the right side of history.
You do not. You know what? I'm tired of talking about this because you're going to somehow try to weasel this into you being right somehow and
right.
Blaming it on the white people. V, you spent a weekend with a bunch of weirdos and white people. How was that?
You literally brought white people into two different things.
Well, you know.
You're anti-white Bender.
Seriously. You really jump on that shit. That's the three basics of Diz in any podcast. Assume that everything that everyone does has white people in it, which is not untrue.
Yeah.
You know? Shout out every single Afghan person he happens to know.
What's up, dude? Shout out Baluch. Shout out Omar.
Stop it.
And then also Reza. Figure out a way to make every story about how smart he is.
No. You got this wrong, V.
Yeah.
You've got this wrong. And I think you unfairly reduce Diz to a very simplified caricature of the vast importance that he brings to this podcast.
Oh, by all means, please.
So I refuse to allow you to do it. The real thing is that he does three things. One, he relates everything to poop.
That's true.
He relates everything to sex.
Yes.
And somehow he talks shit about white people.
Yes.
Those are the three things.
Poop,
he does.
Sex, white people.
That's Diz's encapsulated perfectly. You tried to make it too complicated.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I actually overestimated his intellect.
Sex, poop, white people.
Game of poops. Hashtag.
That's a diss for you.
But, yeah, so I went to San Diego Comic-Con this weekend.
I don't know if I could last at Comic-Con. The lines for the bathrooms are too long. I would, like, poop myself.
There you go. two out of the three within 1 minute. Yeah,
anyway.
Sorry.
That was the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life.
Yep. How was Comic-Con?
I really enjoyed it a lot, actually. I had a lot of fun, did a lot of panels this time around. There was a little bit of drama also.
When you say you did a lot of panels, you attended a lot of panels.
Yeah. So I went to a lot of them. There was
nice if he did panels.
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway.
Tell us your story about Hall H.
So fucking Hall H, piece of shit. These people were lining up for days before. They were camping out. So people started camping out on Thursday to get into Hall H on Saturday. Ooh. Right? So it was like the biggest, and the big controversy was, number one, a bunch of people who camped out since Thursday didn't get into Hall H this year. What the hell? There was a big problem because someone was printing out fake, everyone had a pass, but everyone's picking, mm-hmm. they gave you like a little paper wristband, uh-huh. right, for Hall H access, mm. right? Someone had printed out a bunch of fake ones, and so a bunch of people didn't get into Hall H because someone had printed out a bunch of those wristbands, mm. and they couldn't, and the security couldn't tell the difference.
So they were like, fuck it, no one's coming yeah. in.
Another big thing is also the lines to actually get the wristbands was really messed up because normally, the way lines work at San Diego Comic-Con is that, you know, if there's five of you in a line, you wait there, but you wait a long time, so it's not uncommon for people to leave and come back, right? You kind of ebb and flow a little bit. So long as one person in your group is there, it's not a big deal, you know, so long as they're holding the spot. Mm-hmm. What happened was the line went from being like this kind of this general certain amount of people, right? And then all of a sudden they said that they were going to start handing out wristbands. And then every single person in line had 10 people with them all of a sudden. So a bunch of people who were waiting there for days to get wristbands couldn't get in because all these other people started jumping in with their single person in these groups. Mm. So there was a big old hoopla about Hall H. And the president of the of San Diego Comic-Con kind of came out and basically said there's not much we can do about that. But the people who got screwed because of the fake wristband things will get free passes for next year. Mm. Yeah, which sucks. Was like if I had to camp out there.
Did you get a free pass for next year?
No.
Why you could have pretended
that I didn't go to Hall H. I didn't have a wristband.
Damn you! Should have stole one from.
Somebody. I was pissed because I tried to do Ballroom 20, which is like it's a big one also, but it's not as big as Hall H is. Because uh-huh. I wanted to see the Psych reunion.
Ah.
Because they were gonna do because they're doing a movie on Who's USA, there? Right? Was so it? The whole cast was there.
James Roday, Dulé
yeah.
Hill,
the whole cast. Ah. Yeah.
I like Psych.
I woke up early to go to the convention center to try to wait in line before the hall was even open. Mm. So I went there. I talked to a security lady, and she told me that you have to go, if you want to get in line to Ballroom 20, you have to go to the Hall H, you have to go around to the Hall H line to get in. So I walked around through the Hall H line. It literally spanned for like a mile, right? So it took me like 30 minutes to get through it. And I realized when I talked to somebody that's not the way to get into the damn hall. Mm. So, or into the convention center. So I ended up figuring it out and I waited in line to get in for about an hour and a half.
Oh shit.
I was about two lines away. So about 35, 36 people away and they shut the hall down.
Ooh. You didn't get to see Dulé?
I was so pissed off. And once again in my life, a middle-aged white lady has ruined anything fun for me.
They didn't want the Orientals to go in there.
It was messed up. I was so really? Pissed off.
What? He's been called an Oriental by a middle-aged white woman before, and it's a playback.
What, all of a sudden, you're allowed to do it because some middle-aged white woman told us to call me an Oriental?
It's a callback to a previous episode for our listeners.
Yeah, whatever.
This is a trope that happens in TV shows.
This comic book, this Comic-Con, released quite a few trailers that I thought was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of really good stuff.
I'm not a big fan of Justice League. I was not particularly interested in it, but I got to be honest, this second Justice League trailer actually got me interested.
They're pretty cool. They have, what is it, the new villain revealed, Steppenwolf?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like who's the Paragonians or whatever it is.
The what?
I don't know. What's his army called? The Parademons. The Parademons. The Parademons.
He's a comic book fan here, huh?
Whatever, man. You're the fucking, what is it? What nerd are you again?
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
Yeah, pop culture and sports, V. At least I know what I am, motherfucker.
Damn.
No, I don't know what you are because you don't do shit.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right.
Kiss my ass.
Let's cut the tension by talking shit about Zack Snyder.
Want to fight about it?
That guy sucks.
Justice League 2, I got to be honest, the Justice League 2, the second trailer looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It made me excited about it because I was gonna be, oh yeah, I'll watch it, but I'm not so sure about it. But the one thing it did convince me of is even if the trailer looks good, this is a Zack Snyder film, and Zack Snyder films don't do well in my mind. They look good usually at the trailer level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The trailers look good, but when you watch the movie, they end up being he tries too hard. He's so obsessed with the kind of the hero worship of the superhero, right? He has these phenomenal, like hyper masculine, slightly homoerotic fixation with the superhero.
Mm-hmm.
All Zack Snyder films are flowing cloaks and paused moments on on rippling muscles. See, you know what I mean?
I said this to you a few years ago, and you threatened to take my nerd card away. I said the trailer for Watchmen was better than the movie, and you got mad at me. And
no, that's right. The movie of Watchmen was good, too. The trailer was better. One of the things he does is he tries to create dramatic, epic moments, and then he strings them one after the other after the other, after slow-mo. The other. And they're all in slow-mo. And they're all with operatic music, right? And it just doesn't work because the narrative needs more than that. It's all right to have a couple dramatic moments that happen naturally, mm-hmm. right? But when you like fabricate it, and those are the pinpoints for your story arc, it becomes a problem. So that's my issue with Justice League. But the trailer looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to watch it regardless, but I'm expecting...
What else came out of Comic-Con?
Well, there was Westworld.
Yeah.
This the second trailer for Thor Ragnarok.
I like Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I like the first. I like the first trailer better myself. I think it had more style to it. Yeah,
I like the second trailer.
Well, the first trailer had that dope song in it. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah, and then the Kingsman 2, ooh. Which is really cool. I enjoyed the Kingsman movie a lot.
That's such a lad movie. It's a dude movie.
It's a good movie. It was good. I liked it. Right. I enjoyed it.
It's a bit of a dude.
I liked movie. It. I liked the Kingsman movie. Admittedly, though, the story was kind of. I don't remember what the storyline was, but I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed watching it.
It's mindless fun.
Exactly. Sometimes
it's not that entertaining. It was not that good.
Yeah.
There had some good qualities to it. It did a good job of not making the female into a love interest. Good on it. It's clever critique of neoliberalism. I thought that was kind of clever. But at the end of the day. It, as a sort of parody or satire, I should say, or a critique of spy movies and the Bond movies, it's lukewarm. It's all right.
I enjoyed it.
We also had the new Stranger Things season.
Yeah, people really like that.
I'm excited for that. No, I like Stranger Things a lot.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, me neither.
And then, it's something to do with telekinetic monsters or some shit.
No, I've been told I need to watch it, but I just haven't seen it yet.
Like, I really liked it a lot.
I heard it's like a throwback to like
old. I don't do any of the Netflix stuff, anyways.
Really, like I enjoyed Narcos and stuff. That was good.
So there is a new Netflix series that's coming out.
The Defenders. Defenders. That's right. Which is all the Marvel Universe people coming together.
Yeah. So talking about the Will Smith one though.
Oh yeah, with the orc cops.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a gritty fantasy comp series. It looks really good.
I felt bad actually because I talked all this stuff about how it was impossible getting to Hall H. And on Thursday, he was actually featured there for that show. And they actually, this is the first time, most of the people I've talked to have gone to Comic-Con for years. Like, this is the first time it's ever happened where they actually went on the loudspeaker over the exhibit hall and told people that Hall H was open for people to go and see Will Smith.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was a first for a lot of people.
Poor William H. Smith. That isn't, I don't know. William,
what's the H stand for?
I don't know. Henry? It might work.
I'm looking forward to it. I may not watch it, but if I catch clips
of it. Yeah, a lot of people are saying that this looks like the first good thing Will Smith has done since like Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2.
Yeah. That was the last good thing that he's done.
There was also the Steven Spielberg movie, One Player Ready.
Ready Player One. Yeah, based on the book.
Yeah, that looks good. People saw Iron Giant in it, Freddy Krueger, so it reminds me a little bit about the anime Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
This kind of virtual reality stuff, except it has a dystopian quality. So it's like the world looks fucked up, but people are able to kind of escape in this alternate virtual reality. That looks interesting.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. Spielberg can't, Spielberg can go wrong. But
that's true.
That looks like he's doing, and so what I hear, it's like not just an interesting concept, he's also doing a phenomenal, like the cinematography in it, it's supposed to be like kind of radical. He's doing kind of interesting things.
I'll check it out.
Spielberg's got, his work is pretty solid most of the time. So it's always a good bet to go with Spielberg.
What other trailers came out?
There was Rick and Morty. We talked a lot about.
I love Rick and Morty. It's my favorite show on television.
Yeah, that was huge. Rick and Morty, they did a Adult Swim on the Green, which is their carnival that they do every year, which is a lot of fun. They do little carnival games and everything. Mm. So they were pushing a lot of Rick and Morty stuff there because I think that's their most popular title. But they also did this great, it was around above the carnival, they had like a giant awning, and it's a giant Rick Sanchez. Mm-hmm. So it was like overlooking like the green around the San Diego Convention Center, which was great.
That's a play on like something they did in their show. They had like this like old man who like they just made him gigantic, and he was over the earth, and it was like this giant float.
Yeah, and the huge thing was, the big thing for the carnival was Mr. Poopy Butthole towels.
Hey.
Right? And then last year, they had Mr. Poopy Butthole body pillows. Yeah, the people, we won one, my group did. We got one, and we got so many people offering to buy it from us. It was like such a. It was like such a.
Like how much were they offering?
An item. They were like giving like they were like give you 30 bucks for it or whatever else, and like you just had to win enough tickets to win it last year. But the guy that ended up getting it, Chris, just did, he wanted it, so he didn't end up doing it. Okay. We ended up looking it up probably a couple months ago, and the company that made those pillows is now selling on their website for $75.
Oh shit!
Yeah, so those Mr. Poopy Butthole pillows apparently are doing really well. Yeah.
What else did you attend at Comic-Con?
So I did. I did a lot of art stuff. So a lot of Adam Hughes, which is really famous. He did Spider Gwen, right? I attended his panel with his live drawing. The legendary Jim Lee, also, you know, my favorite artist of all time. Also, kind of, I think he's the head of DC Comics, or he's like one of the heads of DC Comics right now. Was big. I also attended a great. Representation in LGBTQ plus representation of that community in comic books, which was great because it had a lot of really great authors in there, as well as a representative from GLAAD. I didn't realize this because I haven't been keeping up with superhero titles, but Iceman's actually gay now. This storyline is where Bobby Drake is gay.
I've heard this, but like
I heard it,
paid no attention to it.
I think it was interesting because a lot of it ended up being kind of, it was, they were trying to figure out, like, how do you approach something like this without making it seem like you're trying to push a quote-unquote SJW agenda type thing, which I think is very interesting because for them, for the authors more specifically, they went, this is kind of a, they believe that this was a natural progression for the character. Cena, the author of the new, of the Iceman comics, was, you know, he talked about how he believed that Bobby Drake never had agency in the past. Like, he was always kind of a background character. There was really not a whole lot there. And he took something that he felt was a natural progression for the character and turned it into something that he thought was going to be a strong representation for LGBTQ, the LGBTQ community. He also brought up this very interesting point from the old Brian, you remember the Bryan Singer X-Men movies? Right, there was a, there's a point where Bobby Drake is in the room when his family finds out that he's a mutant, and his mom goes, have you ever tried not being a mutant? Right, and he's like, he thought that was a very poignant statement, and I feel like it's a really poignant statement too, because I can imagine some, a lot of kids coming out to their parents and then their parents not understanding that it's not something that you just choose to do. And I think that that was a big part for Cena in his writing of Bobby Drake and how he decided to depict him in the comic books.
That's cool.
A really interesting point that kind of gets brought up also was about talking about how there really is no narrative benefit to writing a character as a straight white male, but it's done regardless. Like, it's a standard in the industry, which is they're trying to break. I think also they were talking about how there's an issue that's brought up with somehow when you create a character that's like, let's say gay, it's considered to be part of some type of agenda, as opposed to if you were just to create like a straight white Peter Parker type character, it's just what it is. Like, there's no real questioning of why you chose that character to be straight, white, and male, which I thought was a really interesting point.
But are people wrong to like question that? Because, I mean, let's be real. So everyone, most comic book heroes are straight white dudes, right? So that's what we've been, like, normalized to. So we see it over and over and over again. It's not like you're trying to, like, play to a certain audience. But if you put out, like, a black transgender gay superhero, right? Like, it's great that you're getting that representation. But at what point are they, like, are they just trying to, like, market off of that? Like, all right, well, we want to reach a bigger audience. If we put this out, maybe this person will buy it now. So person A, who hasn't been buying the comic books, like, will now buy this comic book because it's different, right? I mean, I get it, right? Like, it is good to put out, I'm not saying not to put out representation, but I don't trust these fucking corporations. I know there's some kind of, like, devious thing behind it. Like, I don't think they're just doing it to do it, to like, hey, you know what? There's a little brown gay boy. We want to make a superhero that he could relate to. Like, no, I think they want to make money off the little brown gay boy. So, like, let's do something now. We'll get money off of him.
Well, I think it's also like there's people on the right who question agendas, but their idea is that there is a kind of agenda, and that agenda is indoctrination of the youth. Mm-hmm. Right? The Euphuses are being...
All little Timmies of the world.
They're being indoctrinated, right? Into being social justice or whatever, right? Uh-huh. Indoctrinated into whatever it is.
Yeah, they're all
right?
being little snowflakes.
And we see this all the time. We see this with, like, do you look at what your kids are being taught at school. Look at what your kids are... So there's that idea of agenda. Uh-huh. Right? So when we talk about agenda, there's that concept of it. The idea that you're trying to indoctrinate people. I think there is the other notion of agenda, which is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. right? Which is, why is it that corporations end up doing what they do? And I think this is where the argument is, and in some respects, you're right. I think the questioning of the agenda, as your panel is talking about, is flawed, right? Mm-hmm. That questioning of agenda comes from a myopic view of the world that somehow everyone's out to indoctrinate your kids, uh-huh. right? But your questioning of the agenda is a valid one, because why do corporations create these superficial representations? Yeah. And there's a whole term for this kind of concept in digital studies, right? And in studies of art. It's known as queerbaiting, uh-huh. right? Or shipbaiting, or media studies in particular talks about this. I think a good example would be Supernatural, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a show about two brothers. Neither of these brothers are gay, but there's now this kind of... Since the arrival of this angelic character known as Castiel, they've been... whole rabid fans have shipped Castiel and Dean together, that they have some secret love for each other. And the show, and it's a very self-aware show, very self-aware, right? They're constantly engaging with their fans. Now have changed a lot of the narrative arcs in order to ship bait. Extra lingering touches, longing looks. They've even hinted at Dean being bisexual or having a past gay experience. They've given just enough that conspiracy-minded people mm-hmm. or people who read into things sit there and go, they are together, they are a couple, it's canon, uh-huh. but they've never actually done anything.
Yeah, they're just doing it to play to the
but
audience.
They're just doing it to play to the audience. That's queer baiting.
Yeah,
that's playing to the to a queer audience, getting their hopes up that there's some form of representation. There is no real representation there. It's a superficial nod to get viewership. And in some respects, one could argue that that type of rabid fandom that reads into everything, waiting and looking for every longing look of Dean thrown Castiel's way, is one of the reasons why Supernatural has existed and survived long past its expiration.
Yeah, it's been going on forever.
Right? So this is, and this other shows do this, right? And you see this with TV shows and soap operas, where they play up these kind of elements. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. They hint at things. That's queerbaiting. That's shipbait. And that, I think, is a serious problem. And in some regards, there's no hinting. It's just superficial creation. Uh-huh. We'll create a gay character and throw it in there just to play to that audience.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
So I think there's two agendas here. The agenda of indoctrination is the flawed one. Uh-huh. Right? That's not what's going on. Authors aren't writing these characters in order to make everyone gay.
Yeah.
Right? Make your little kids gay.
Yeah, they're not poisoning the juice boxes.
Right. There's no gay frogs, right? Uh-huh. On the other hand, there should be a critique of corporations who do this by committee, right? Uh-huh. If an author creates a character that is gay because there's some sort of natural arc to it, or LGBTQ, or does it for representation purposes, that's something to be, that's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think Ali Baluch said, we need heroes that look like us.
Yeah.
Right? And that's absolutely right. We do need heroes that look like us and represent us. It's something, I mean, we'll always remember the iconic moment of the little kid going, his hair is like my hair, when he's talking about Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And Barack Obama, President Obama, kneels over and he touches the hair. That's a powerful moment. Representation is important. But superficial representation,
yeah.
right, versus actual substance is a different thing.
That is true. They actually brought up some interesting points, too. More specifically, they talk about how big companies listen so long as the voice is loud enough. Uh-huh. Right? The problem is, though, that brings up an interesting point with what you just talked about. It's like, yes, you may have a loud enough voice, but the big company will just give you enough to make it so you don't scream so loudly, I think. And that's the problem. It's like, they understand our generation's complacency towards things.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, so them going, okay, we'll give a gay character, would be enough to kind of appease whatever voices for a long time, despite the fact that the gay character is nothing more than a standard bearer of gay tropes.
Yeah, and right? I think this is the real question. It's like, does the representation go beyond just a vessel for tropes?
Right? Yeah.
Is the having more brown characters, but they all end up as terrorists, is not representation.
Yeah. Or they're all secular Muslims.
Or they're all secular. It's a kind of failure in that regard. I think in some instances, a perfect example of people who get it wrong is Game of Thrones for me.
Yeah. You hate these guys.
I hate David and Dan, or whatever their names are. Weiss and Benioff. There's a lot of people in show business that I can't, that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Right? James Wood.
One likes James Wood.
John Voight. Right? All these people that you just don't like, right? That are sleaze bags and the movie industry. But there's no one represents this that title of entitled, lack of self-aware, incompetent, completely mediocre white guy mentality than D&D to me. Really, they're the confidence of these two losers, two really mediocre white guys. Also, I'll never forgive them for Wolverine Origins. But so I think a perfect case and example of this is their representation of women. So they have fundamentally, I think they use women almost exclusively as prop plots.
Okay. Right?
They're either objects, their sexual violence directed at them is literally just for sensationalization. It doesn't actually further the plot in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Right. So take Sansa's character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, everything we're talking about, spoiler alert. Sansa's character, what she experienced with Ramsay last season, in no way, shape, or form was necessary.
Correct.
She was already on that path.
Yeah.
Littlefinger put her down on this path of her becoming a big player in the game, more cold-hearted. She already showed that. There was no need for her to experience what she experienced, but they did it anyways because shock value. They want people angry, right? Because shock over substance.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they do horribly. Now, they're trying to fix this season by creating some stronger female characters, right? Technically, it's three queens now.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah, because it's Cersei,
Sansa,
and Dany.
And Dany. But at the same time, you look at difference and how it's dealt with in Game of Thrones. So George R. R. Martin is one of those authors that openly admits and acknowledges that a lot of fantasy is Eurocentric.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he tries to do, not always successfully, is he introduces cultural difference vis-a-vis Dorne. And he creates this wonderful, complex world that is Dorne.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, Dorne for Game of Thrones wasn't an opportunity to explore difference and diversity. What did it do? Dorne is nothing more than just...
garbage.
Nonstop sex.
Yeah.
And nonstop revenge.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a prop... right, we all ended up hating Dorne last season and the past couple seasons, just hating the shit out of Dorne.
Yeah, because that's not how.
So how do they resolve it? What do they do with this episode?
They fucking killed off.
They just Dorne. Killed everyone. Oh yay! What a wonderful way to handle that criticism that you fucked up Dorne. People go up to you, you fucked up Dorne. Okay, we'll fix it. We'll just kill everybody. Again, what is it? Shock value.
Well, yeah, you know, what's his name? John Bodea. Yeah. So He had critiques about Game of Thrones. He's like, you know, everyone talks about how it's a great show, but there is no diversity in that show whatsoever.
There isn't.
There's how many...
The guy who plays in Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many black people are on Game of Thrones?
None.
Right?
And the only time there are in the show is what? As slaves.
Right? There was that dude with the axe, right?
Yeah. Killed off.
And there was the guy in Meereen that tried to steal her dragons.
Yep.
Killed off.
Yep.
And who else is there? I can't.
Everyone else is slaves.
Yeah, I can't think of any other black characters.
Game of Thrones is an example of how horrible handling representation is. They've done a horrible job. I mean, George R. R. Martin himself has some really interesting character. There's Bellas. There's all these kind of people of color. Not a lot. But what he does is he creates complexity.
Yeah.
Dorne is complicated. It's not perfect. And one of the things he does is he makes Dorne starkly different from the rest of Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
Women can inherit there. They're looser about their sexuality. All that stuff, right? Instead, what they do is they create them as really just shock value.
Yeah, literally.
Constantly fucking. What is the first... What is the only thing that Ellaria does this entire season?
She tries to hook up with
Greyjoy.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not a representation of bisexuality. That's not a good representation of bisexuality or complicated sexuality. That's just you literally using your sexuality as a shock moment.
Yeah.
As gratuitous, as this over-the-top moment. This is the failure of Game of Thrones, fundamentally. And this is it's consistent in its representation of women, its representation of people of color, and its representations of diversity. Game of Thrones, as a series, is going to go down as a shit series. Financially successful, commercially successful, but... critics are going to look back and go, yeah, there was a lot of shit that went wrong. The problem is that along the way, we keep giving them awards, so they get validated. They pat themselves on the back that they've done a great job. They listen to critiques, and rather than adjust, they just do further stupid shit. They doubled down after the Sansa scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was needed. It wasn't. There was nothing necessary about that.
Yeah, and now they're giving them another show on HBO.
Which I think is... What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, of course. Confederate.
So in an era of Trump, in which you have people literally calling for walls and bans and literal lynchings have actual happened. Let me point that out.
Yeah, first, right? Also...
Literal lynchings have happened, right?
Also, Alex Jones claims the second Civil War is happening now, and the liberals have already taken the first shots. Yeah. So go out there and defend yourselves from these Democrats and these liberals.
So let's... In this environment... The confidence of mediocre white men to go, you know what? What if we wrote a show? What if slavery never ended?
Yeah.
How would that look like? So I get that they're not trying to romanticize slavery. I get it, right? Like, oh, they're going to show slavery as bad. But here's the thing. We already live in a country where the people who lost still wave their flags very proudly.
Yep. Yeah. Southern pride, goddammit.
Imagine giving them a show where they didn't lose. Yeah.
It's a fucking fan fiction.
It is fan fiction. Yeah. It's slavery fan fiction. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, to have two white, entitled, rich, mediocre showrunners.
Yeah.
People who couldn't handle Dorne, you want them to handle slavery.
Oh, yeah.
Race and slavery. What could possibly go wrong in the hands of D&D?
But their answer to that is that they have two African-American writers as well.
Fucking idiots.
One of them wrote on Empire.
Yeah, there are female writers on Game of Thrones. It hasn't stopped the sexual...
Yeah, that's what I think is interesting. They literally did... Their response to this...
We got black friends.
Yeah, cultural anthropology professors, from basically anyone in academia. Historians
of race.
Historians, yeah.
African-American studies people. Everybody with prominent people in the black community. Yeah. Everyone's going, wait a minute, this is a horrible idea.
And their answer to that is, we're not racist. We have a black president. I mean, we have black writers.
Literally. You know, like, it's literally what they did. Like, this is the problem I've always had with Benioff and Weiss, too, is that because of that confidence of white mediocrity, right, they really don't listen to any criticisms. They never sit there and go, wait a minute, let's hear what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
They double down. They never think they're wrong. They never think they've made a mistake. They never think it's a wrong step.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a bad, bad move.
And
I know people are going, oh, wait, give it a chance. I don't need to give it a chance. This is a particular time in history that we don't need to be relived. And certainly not with the fact that, look, we know for a fact that they're not going to make all the slave owners bad.
No.
Because they like complexity and gray zone, right? That's what they always talk about. I don't want to see you talk about how some slave owners were good.
Yeah.
I don't need that type of complexity.
By being a slave owner, you're already bad.
What's fundamentally also, and it goes to show you their ignorance of history, how fucking ignorant they are of history, is that they were like, what if we create a show where we imagine slavery never ended? Well, asshole, it didn't for a lot of people.
It's true.
You had hundreds of years of slavery and another 100 years of Jim Crow.
It's true.
You had, after the ending of slavery, you had carceral slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You had wage slavery. You have sexual slavery.
Yep.
You have a variety of aspects of slavery that continue to this day. I mean, the Netflix documentary 13th is all about carceral slavery, how slavery ends, but it feeds into the prison industrial complex.
Mm.
A lot of black people don't need to imagine what would happen if slavery didn't end. They know what would happen. And there's plenty of forms of slavery that still exist.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, just shows not only their ignorance, but their insensitivity to the topic.
So they did an interview, and I was reading the interview before I came here today, and it's interesting because they talk about how they're self-proclaimed history nerds.
They're not.
Right? It's really funny because it's like it annoys me because like they evoke the word nerd, which obviously we all have a personal relationship with. It's just the same thing with like the Big Bang Theory guys, right? Yeah. They're all nerds, but we hate the fact that they've taken that term and turned it on, you know, right? So they talk about how they're history nerds and how they looked at this point where... And this is where their justification for how they created the show goes. They talk about how they read about a time where Robert E. Lee had plans to invade the North, but somebody had dropped the plans on a parchment or whatever else.
Completely misrepresent that.
So then
I had historians of African American history, historians of the South, and historians of Civil War going, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. That's completely wrong.
Yeah. So their justification was like, what would happen if that parchment or whatever ended up not being dropped.
What an insensitive way of ignoring the fact that the reason they lost is because of the effort of people who fought against slavery, against black people who resisted, against the everyday aspects of resistance that completely... this is one of the... I remember when I saw this, I went, really?
It was
I'm already angry enough at them for fucking up a fantasy world.
Yeah.
The last thing I want them to do is fuck up history.
So it's idiotic because now they're going, well, this is going to be a dystopian future world after the third Civil War. And they haven't... While they haven't actually put things down yet on the show, they're going, we're taking a lot of time because we're creating the history by what happened, right?
They call it world building. Yeah. And that's another way of... What a phenomenal level of privilege to consider the histories of lived people world building.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a horrible thing.
It is a horrible thing. Yeah. And this is why I'm like, I don't have to wait and see on this. I can recognize a bad idea when I see it. And this is a bad idea. It's deeply insensitive, deeply ignorant, rooted in an extreme level of privilege, and again, handled by the only two people that I would have thought should never come... there's plenty of people who shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
But of all the people who shouldn't do this, at the top of the list is Benioff and Weiss.
These are the kind of guys, just based on what they've done with Game of Thrones alone and their writing... Yeah. These are the kind of people who are going to milk a lynching scene for everything that it's worth.
This and is
going
a to group of people it. Who use shock, who use awe, who's thou over substance, and that's a problem.
You think the pictures of Emmett Till after he got lynched were bad. Yeah. Now imagine them creating the snuff film for HBO that is going to be representation of Emmett Till.
People have talked about, at the end of the day, that Game of Thrones is basically just... tits and gore.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy for people who want to see lots of nudity and sex and violence and people who are getting it, right? That's what it is. And a lot of the show has become that it's lost its capacity to tell a good story, a narrative, to build character arcs, and instead replaces it. We saw this quite early on with the sex position, right? This is a whole new term that came about just to describe what Game of Thrones is, and that is to do some form of exposition, explanation, while sex is going on. Like Game of Thrones mastered that type of... Now imagine them milking the trauma, the psychic trauma of racism and slavery.
Yeah.
They're already milking the psych... They literally love putting... the scene with Ollie getting hanged.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Just zooming in on that face. Look, over-the-top moments of zooming in on rape, focusing on blood, and just because they can milk it, because they know it'll create sensationalism.
Yeah,
that's a fantasy world. That's a world that is imagined. Now they're going to take the real world of slavery, and they're going to use the exact same tactics, the same practices, the same sensationalism. Is that really what we want? Do I really need to see a 5-minute scene of someone getting lynched or whipped to know how horrible slavery is?
Yeah, no, I don't think we need to see that shit again, because. I mean, it baffles me that they're giving them...
Baffled that how many times people said yes to this
idea. Yeah,
and baffled that they feel so confident in doing it.
Yeah, seriously.
The thing is, people are going to say that, well, you guys are just overreacting, it is a history, it's reimagining. I'm like, yeah, but still, at the same time, this is going to, be... People are going to see this and be like, well, look how great it is.
It's exploitative.
I could see people looking at that and be like, this is what a wonderful, it's going to be a wet dream for a racist.
Oh, of course it is.
You know?
The people who are going to tune in are the people who are still stuck in the South. And this is my problem with their approach, is that at the end of the day, it is exploitative. It's them trying to make a buck off of the trauma, the psychic trauma of a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality. They can talk about it as fantasy and what if as much as they want, but they're still exploiting. They're still looking to make money off of someone else's historical experience.
Yeah, this is what I was just arguing earlier with these corporations.
I feel like it was just one of also given the time with the current administration. It's also very
bad timing.
They understand that the base Trump's base is bolstered right now, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that they can make money off of this. It'd be one thing if they had this idea in their back pocket for years now, right? But the fact that they have nothing built for this, and all of a sudden they're going, this is the perfect time to come out with a show called Confederate, I think speaks a lot to where their minds are at.
It really comes down to the people. There needs to be a really strong backlash against this.
Yeah.
David and Benioff and Weiss aren't on Twitter. So they never see this stuff. They do it very deliberately because they're not interested in people's critique. They literally don't give two shits what people say, as long as their ratings look good.
Yeah.
It's important for people to reach out to HBO, email them, tweet them, whatever it is you need to do, and let them know that this is not okay.
Yeah. I'd love to see what John Oliver has to say about something like this.
It's a stupid, stupid move.
He's on the same network as HBO. So if John, you know, John Oliver is a, you know, is usually a...
Yeah, but I don't know. It's hard to critique in-network stuff.
Yeah, that's the rough thing, right? I mean, he's always made fun of a lot of things on HBO, but this is a pretty serious...
Yeah.
I mean, and this is a lot of issues that are aligned, when one would think were aligned with John Oliver's beliefs as well, mm-hmm. right? So this is going to be an interesting test for him as well, I think, being that he's part of HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't, I'm very interested in hearing what our audience has to say.
Yeah.
I'd love to see, do you guys think that Confederate's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? Do you join me in my hate watching of Game of Thrones? It's not the worst series in the world. I just am very bitter that they took a show with great potential and they ruined it because of their fixation on sensationalism rather than substance and story. Yeah. And the ruining of Dorne. I think that for me is
a really that thing is a piss, yeah.
Between the sexual violence and Dorne, it's like it's become to the point where it's like, the show is shit. Yeah.
There's one quote that I actually wanted to give from that LGBTQ panel. They actually made an interesting point. I want to see what people's opinions were on this too. They said that if you create the fandom, it will find residents. Right? So the question is, do you feel like if the fandom of Confederate is created, will we find residents in, say, Comic-Con or one of these other places for a show like Confederate, where it's very much about these, you know, these far-right race relations and everything else?
Can you explain that a little bit? Because
yeah, I don't understand
you,
that.
Yeah, I didn't know what
you mean. Because they said if you, when you create the fandom, the fandom will find residents. So they're basically saying that...
Resonance or residents?
Residents.
Residents.
Like, once you create the fandom, the space will be created and residents will be found for that fandom.
Okay.
Right? So if Confederate was created, right, and it appeals to this kind of alt-right or far-right ideology or this fandom, will that fandom create residents within our quote-unquote nerd culture?
So more races coming into
in the same, like in that same way, right? Where it's like, yes, there are a lot of complex ideological beliefs within our culture. The question is, though, will they be as brazen as, let's say, a show like Confederate would be? Or would they be as brazen as you know, as let's say their far-right counterparts would be, right? Like, would it take residence within our own culture the same way? Right? So just a question I wanted to present to you. Yeah.
You can tweet us. Let us know what you think about Confederate. Let us know what you think about Game of Thrones. Let us know what you think about the idea of creating space for this. And Diz will let you know how you can do that.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on Twitter @currentlynerdy, at Instagram, currentlynerdy. YouTube, search for Currently Nerdy on there. Look at our old videos while we come up with a new one for you. We're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. And we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and a bunch of other podcast apps, but those are the main three. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. We need some 5-star ratings so we can get into the algorithms and become millionaires off of this. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at alialomi.com or on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. You can also find me on our sister podcast, Head on History. You can go to Stitcher Radio or you can go to iTunes and just look up Head on History. Diz?
Yes, you can find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're fucking white pieces of shit and want to write stuff about this out.